Case number 215209, United States of America v. Taurus Cooper. Oral argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Stengel, you may proceed for the appellant.
And we'll give you a few minutes to get settled, though. Don't rush.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mike Stengel, on behalf of the Memphis Bar, proud to be here on behalf of Taurus Cooper. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Taurus Cooper is here because the district court failed to apply to suppress the evidence after it found the protective sweep that was conducted by law enforcement was indeed illegal and unconstitutional. The district court's ruling relied on it finding improperly, in Mr. Cooper's opinion, that a consent to search form was voluntarily given immediately after the illegal sweep. And the district court applied the inevitable discovery doctrine based upon finding that the consent was voluntary. The district court made several errors in doing that. First, after finding the sweep illegal and unconstitutional, it failed to apply the presumption that the consent was tainted by the illegal sweep. And that is a critical error which this court must consider in its de novo review. Becomes even more critical because in finding the consent voluntary, the district court noted that it was a very close question. It found the consent voluntary if just so was the end of the district court sentence.
Those all sound a little bit like factual assessments made by the district court, to which we owe pretty great deference. But I want to ask you whether the district court actually thought about this case right, and actually whether the parties have framed this case correctly. So the inevitable discovery doctrine, which is what the United States is arguing here, usually asks a hypothetical question. What would have happened if the illegality had not occurred, right? So your classic case is, you know, they find the gun, as in this case, but the gun was in a car, and they impounded the car, and they would have found the gun anyway because of, they always inventory the vehicle. And so they would have found it anyway, and so discovery is inevitable. What would have happened? The question here, right, they found the gun during the protective sweep, and then the question here is, we have to ask a what would have happened question, right? Everybody's argued an attenuation question, and I'm just wondering whether thinking about it in terms of attenuation is the right way to think about it, or whether instead we should be asking, would Ms. Walton, have consented even if the protective sweep had not happened? And if she had given her consent, obviously they would have found the gun.
Judge, I think you're correct. One of the several errors that the district court made was focusing on what happened afterwards, when the case law is very clear that given the finding that the sweep was illegal, in order to the period of time that you must then focus on whether or not the consent was voluntary. But I would agree that the portions of the district court order that focus on what happens after the sweep is conducted is focusing on the wrong period of time. And
okay, so how would, but nonetheless, you argue all of these factors like flagrancy and what period of time passed. I mean, you both below and in this court use that attenuation test. So I'm in a bit of a muddle about how we're supposed to think about this case because I'm not sure it's been framed right. Maybe it has, but you just agreed with me that it wasn't framed right, but your briefing argues these attenuation factors. So help me out.
I'll try, Your Honor. Thank you. The reason, number one, again, I agree with the court that the focus, once you find, and it's settled, the government did not appeal the finding that the sweep was illegal, so that is settled. And therefore, the proper period to focus on is the moment before the sweep.
So what do we ask in the moment before the sweep? We ask, would she have consented nonetheless? Or what question do I ask in the moment before the sweep?
Well, I think you have to look at the record and what would have occurred had the sweep not occurred, the illegal sweep not occurred. And frankly, here we have no idea whether she would have consented. Again, going to the consent is focusing on the wrong period of time. There's also case law that says that you cannot, in situations like this, focus on whether probable cause for a warrant existed, because if you look at that, which of course the district court addressed a little bit in its order, I think improperly, because by looking at that, what you're essentially saying is if probable cause exists, there's no warrant requirement. And so I don't think that we can assume.
So how about, so Walton consented twice. So maybe your position is we shouldn't consider the second one at all, because that came after the illegal search. But she consented once before that, right? When they showed a picture of a different suspect, and they went to the house, and the officers asked to come to the house, and she said yes.
Well, there is a dispute as to that.
That is fact finding by the district court.
The
standard review is not in your favor on that.
It is.
So assuming we agree with the district court that she consented to that search, why is it that evidence that she would have consented to a broader search that would have then lawfully disclosed the gun under the mattress?
Well, that consent itself, if you assume that the officer's testimony was correct, and what she consented to was entry into the house to look for this other suspect that she recalled as Landon. Refer to as Landon.
But the district court here made a finding, and I know you dispute this, but the district court made a finding that you could find a human being in between a mattress and a box spring, right? So the district court said that is a place you could look for a person, and she said, sure, come on into my house and look for this other suspect. Why isn't that? I mean, the government didn't argue this as its primary theory, or maybe at all, but why isn't that consent to look in the house anywhere that a human being could be? So in a closet, under the bed, in between the mattress and the box spring. And that consent is evidence that she would have, I mean, she did consent, so they would have found the gun anyway.
I understand where the court is coming from. I think I have to go back and address why I believe the district court was wrong in finding that she consented, recognizing the burden of proof and the need to demonstrate clear error. Essentially, it stems from the fact that the officers, one officer testified that she invited them in to look. Her testimony was, once she testified that the person, Landon, the picture, was not present, that the officers rushed past her and spread out throughout the house. Again, I recognize what the district court found with respect to that. However, I think when you look at all the testimony, I do think that Mr. Cooper can meet the clear error test on that. Essentially, when you look at the officer's testimony, it's, in my opinion, much more consistent with Ms. Walton's testimony that the officers rushed past her. Frankly, they said that one of the deputies testified, we entered all at once, almost like a blitzkrieg.
What does that have to do with, what does that have to do with the scope of her consent?
I think it goes to the credibility of the district court's finding with respect to her consent, allowing them to enter. When they talk about entering all at once in a blitzkrieg, they talk about we overwhelmed them with numbers. We were poised in a stack formation to enter all at once. There's safety in numbers, so we enter all at once and spread out throughout the house and conduct this sweep. I think that goes towards her testimony, the credibility of her testimony, that once she said the person was not in the house, they rushed past her. And I think that there's ample evidence in this record for this court to find those facts.
I was just going to point you back to the standard of review. I mean, the district court said, I don't find this witness's account credible. The district court heard the live testimony. It's hard for us. So, Judge Riedler.
I thought your best argument was that she gave very limited consent to search for someone who she knew that wasn't there, and that was pretty inconceivable thing that she would have consented to a search of the entire home, including under mattresses. And that it's pretty speculative for us to assume that she would have consented to that kind of search.
That was put much more eloquently than I started out, Your Honor. But I do agree that even if the court agrees with the district court that she consented to them entry, their entry request was for specific, limited purpose looking for Landon, and they exceeded the scope of that when they spread out throughout. I see my time is up, eating into rebuttal. I will address the court in a moment. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear from the United States.
May it please the court. My name is Naya Bettini on behalf of the United States. We ask that this court affirm the district court's denial of the motion to suppress. The evidence in this case, a gun, was found during the search of Ms. Walton's house, and it is true that the gun was found prior to the time Ms. Walton gave consent to the officers, but the gun should nonetheless not be suppressed because of two related reasons. The first reason is that the government proved that under the inevitable discovery rule, the officers would have found the gun due to Ms. Walton's consent. And as the second part of this analysis is that Ms. Walton's consent was voluntary. It was a question of fact that the district court determined properly.
The consent the government focused on was only the second consent, the consent that Ms. Walton gave after the gun was already found. And I don't know that we have many, if any, inevitable discovery cases where a gun is already, or evidence has already been found, and then we say, well, it inevitably would have been discovered because of voluntary consent. Don't we have to ask, would the consent have been given even without the initial illegality? That doesn't seem to be the question that the government was addressing.
Under the inevitable discovery doctrine, as you pointed earlier, we have to look what would have happened because the fact that there was no coercion, and especially the fact that she signed a waiver of rights form and the fact that she signed a consent to search form, both those forms informed her that at that point she could refuse consent. And this is the difference between this and the other cases. The defendant talks about the sequence of events, this being the same sequence of events. The fact that she was advised that she could refuse consent at that point is kind of what breaks, constitutes an intervening circumstance.
So suppose we weren't going to consider those factors, we're going to try to go back in time, assume this first search didn't happen. Do you lose then? If you can't rely on most of the things you just told us, do you lose? Or is there some other reason why we should find that she would consent to it?
So, can you repeat, Your Honor, if you were to find that?
Well, it feels like a lot of your argument is focused on legal search and then her consent, and then her consent was valid and knowing, and we're supposed to assume that she would have given that consent either way, but you keep falling back on this second, the consent that came after the illegal search. So suppose we couldn't consider that.
And we just have to ask, would she have consented? Not did she consent voluntarily the second time,
right?
But would she have consented the first time if there had not been the illegal protective sweep?
That is the question, Your Honor, and I think under this is a combination of both the inevitable discovery and the consent doctrine. So the question is, that's what the government's trying to answer. Would she have consented nonetheless, even if the illegal sweep had not occurred? And that's our argument, that she would have consented nonetheless. The fact that the gun was already found was just one piece of it. The other reasons were the facts that I already stated. And I want to point out that the court asked about the first search of the house, the first consent that she gave is she told the officers they could come in the house and they could search for this other person. It was a ruse that the officers specified they performed in situations like when they arrest somebody from their own house. The district court frankly did not analyze the first search. And I think the parties did not go into the first search, but that the district court believed the officers that, in fact, Ms. Walton did consent, did let them in so they could come to look for a different person. And also the district court stated that the fact that the officers looked under the mattress did not exceed the scope of that search. So although that first search has not fully been briefed by the parties, I think, Judge, you pointed out that, as you pointed out, that there was a valid first search that...
Can you draw any conclusions from that?
No, Your Honor, I
just... I'm not going to argue for you, but, a little bit. But, one argument you might be making is, because she consented once to a search, she would have surely consented to, either that first consent was to everything in the home, including on the mattress, or it was more limited, but she would have consented to a broader search than they asked.
Yes, Your Honor.
So now it was inevitable that they would have discovered the gun because she would have consented in some capacity.
Your Honor, to clarify, the parties did not focus really on the first search. That is an argument that we should have made.
Let's just assume we're focusing on it now.
Right.
Should we focus on it, or that's why I asked you, do you lose? Have you not made this argument, and so it's not preserved, and so if we disagree with the other points, you lose?
That's another argument in support of the fact that Ms. Walton would have consented. She would have consented because of the reasons that I stated, the fact that she was fully advised of her rights, she signed a consent to search form where she allowed them to search her entire house, and then in addition, she did consensually let the officers in the house and allow them to search for this other person. So I think that supports the fact that, the government proved that she would have consented by a preponderance of the evidence.
Assuming we agree with that last point, or think of some, do we have a remand on that point to the district court? Did the district court make a finding of whether consent to the initial search would be enough to support, the discovery rule that you're advocating for?
The district court has already held that the consent was voluntary and that the inevitable discovery would apply. I guess there would be nothing.
But the district court held the second consent
Your Honor, I think...
Affirm on other grounds? What do we do? Reverse?
The fact that she consented... So the question is, would she have consented? And if the court disagrees with the fact that, based on the facts that the district court analyzed, and if the court will decide to remand this case, then I think it should be remanded for the district court to consider that first search. However, our position is that that is not necessary. There were sufficient facts for the district court to conclude that Ms. Walton would have consented nonetheless, despite the fact that the gun was found, because she did give valid consent after the gun was found. That is one factor that the court must consider. There were other factors, most importantly the fact that she was told of her rights. She could have consented at any point after. So our position is that there is enough sufficient facts in the record for the district court to be able to find that Ms. Walton would have consented nonetheless. But if the court disagrees, then we would then ask for a remand for the district court to consider her first consent to let the officers in the house to search for this additional person that they asked her to search for. That's definitely an analysis that the district court did not engage on. But the fact of that consent is on the record, and the district court did believe the officers as far as that consent. If the court has no more questions, I ask that they affirm the district court. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stengel, you have a rebuttal.
Thank you. I think in focusing on the first consent, the first thing that the court has to address is whether the officers would have even cared about searching the apartment. Remember, the landed, while the government calls it a ruse, frankly, it was a lie. Law enforcement was lying about why they were there. And the defendant, Mr. Cooper, the record is very clear, was, as soon as the door was opened, he was within officers' eyesight, seated on a couch. They, upon entry, they immediately went to him, had him stand up, turn around. He was cuffed and under arrest. So I don't think, given those circumstances, and that being the reason that they were there at Ms. Walton's house, this was not Mr. Cooper's house, although he occasionally spent the night, and they had been a couple for a couple of years. So I think you have to address that. And you cannot assume that given what, if the officers are to believe, what they were requesting was to search for a non-existent person. Again, that's a very limited request.
Well, okay, so I understand your point. I think your point is not that she would not have consented, although I know you dispute that, but that even if she had consented to the initial search for the other individual, the officers wouldn't have carried it out because they didn't care about this other individual because he didn't exist. So the search would not, she might have consented, but the search wouldn't have happened. So I think I, that's right?
Okay.
But could she, but she's consenting to look in her house anywhere a person might be. Mr. Landon, right? That's the
Landon. Yes,
the guy. But isn't that in effect the same thing as consenting to a protective sweep? And we know they did that. They were searching in her house anywhere a body could be. So we know they wanted to do that. Now, the manner in which that was carried out, I understand you're like guns blazing, blah, blah, blah. But why would we think they wouldn't carry it out?
Well,
they wanted to do it at least for safety purposes, and they did it.
Their expressed reason was safety purposes.
But the reasons matter in the Fourth Amendment?
I think that here that the scope of the protective sweep was exceeded. I think it's very clear from the officer's testimony. One said, yes, we're looking for bodies, but of course we also find evidence often. And I think that may have resulted in the flipping of the mattress.
Wasn't there
initially
testimony they saw a slight bulge in the mattress?
There was testimony that they saw a slight bulge, but I think you have to look, and it's at ID 154 in the record. When you look at the deputy's specific testimony, he said he wasn't expecting any signs of a person. There was a slight bulge. He thought there might be something there. Not someone.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I think that's very important.
In other words, a gun isn't going to protrude the same way a human is going to from the mattress.